In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all Saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today we begin a new talk. Luisa finds that peace is everything in the divine will, part one. This is from volume one. And Jesus is talking to Luisa, but he's really talking to us clearly. He wants us to listen to him. So he says, "You were wrong in being so disturbed." How often this happens, that people get disturbed because of the things that they're going through: worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. And Jesus is saying, you're wrong. Stop this. He said this to the apostles already. He says, do not worry. Does fear, worry add one moment to your life? And he says, of course it doesn't. Then he says, stop worrying. And now he's saying, stop being disturbed. See, the Lord is going to put everything correct, correct everything in our life. He wants to bring us to an awareness of the life that we're supposed to be living. If he is the new Adam, he says, you have to learn from me. You have to surrender your intellect, memory, and will so that I can redirect you, reform you, as he did with Luisa. And Luisa learned this by reading, studying, and putting into practice the truths that Jesus gave to her. So he says, you're wrong in being so disturbed. Don't you know that I am Spirit of Peace? So here Jesus is showing us who he is. This peace that we're supposed to possess is Jesus. We're supposed to have him reigning in our hearts so well, so much, that everything around us is peace, joy, and happiness. Everything around us is fiat. That's what fiat does. Fiat is peace, joy, and happiness. So he's saying that when we learn this, when we go over the writings that Jesus gave to Luisa, you'll begin to understand that Jesus wants to reign in you, and he is the Spirit of Peace, and this peace is fiat in everything that we think, say, and do. And he says, and the first thing I, God, recommend is that you do not disturb the peace of the heart. Okay, so when things go wrong and you're upset, Jesus says, don't disturb the peace. He says there's a reason for it. As if he is our Lord, if he's our Savior, if he's our Master, if he's our King, if he is really our God, and we want to follow him, he's going to make everything that we go through, everything that we think, say, and do, everything that we go through a blessing. We will be able to understand why things go wrong and why our God is allowing those things to go wrong. I was talking to a woman today, and she says, I don't understand that. I don't understand why I have to go. I said, you would not be where you are right now if you didn't go through everything you did from the moment you were conceived until this moment. You are here because of everything that you've gone through, the good, the bad, the ugly. She goes, well, I don't like it. And I said, but don't you know that everything you went through? She says, oh, I know that. Then I said, so what's the problem? It's, you know, each person wants to be in control of their life. They don't want a worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. Yet, they enter into it continuously by, I am not in charge. And that's where the fiat comes in. I've always mentioned, if you have an appointment and you're stuck in traffic and you've got to be there, you say, fiat. Okay, Lord, you don't want me there at this point. Fiat. You're testing me. You're seeing whether or not I will lose my patience. And you say, Lord, I'm going to be peaceful. And again, that's the thing that's so important. We get upset because we want to be in charge. And Jesus says, the first thing I recommend is do not disturb peace, the peace of heart. That's where Jesus dwells. He dwells in our heart. And that's where his throne is. We've made that consecration to our Lord that our heart becomes his throne. And we want the King of Peace there. We want our Lord, our Savior, our Master to rule. And he says, when in prayer, and you're not able to recollect yourself, I, God, do not want you to think of this or that. So that's the first thing. Okay, you're trying to pray and your mind is wandering. You know, you can't. He says, I don't want you to think of this or that. Surrender. Okay, fiat, Lord. Okay, you're trying to show me something. And you say to the Lord, help me. And then he says, I don't want you to think of this or that. I don't want you to think how it is or how it is not. He says, because in doing so, you yourself cause the distraction within yourself. You're doing it. See, it's when you're praying in the divine will, Jesus is showing you what to pray, how to pray. Say you want to get your novena in, and there's a dog barking outside, and the dog doesn't stop barking, and you go, what is going on? And Jesus says, don't think about it. Say fiat. Okay, for every dog that ever barked, it's saying to you, Lord, I wanted to say to you, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. And let the Lord lead you into prayer. Not because of what you want, because Jesus is showing you. So you're outside and you're praying the rounds and a bird starts chirping. And you say, for every time the bird, any bird, every bird, every single bird that ever chirped, I adore you, I love you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you. You become the voice of the I love you in a divine manner because it's Jesus in you that's doing it. It's Jesus that's praying and you're praying. You don't want to do anything anymore by yourself. You want Jesus to be your Lord, your Savior, your Master. You want Jesus to reign in you to the point that everything around you becomes a prayer. You know, I want to pray this, okay? Jesus might say, well, I want you to pray this. And he's doing is testing to see whether or not you say fiat. Lord, if this is what you want, I want this. You know, our Lady was so perfect in this. When Herod wanted to kill the children, Joseph said to the Blessed Mother, after the dream, he says, we have to go to Egypt. And she said, okay, fiat. There was no, hey, wait a minute. We got a house in Nazareth, and I was cleaning that house, and now we're going to come back. And she just said, fiat. See, the peace of heart is where Jesus reigns. And if Jesus is really, truly in charge of our lives, then he knows what's best. And he wants us to pass all the tests. He wants us to trust in him, believe in him, hope in him, have confidence in him so much that, like he says, you're not going to cause a distraction by what you want to think or this or that, or you want to do this or not do that. It's Jesus, you're in charge. It's very clear the Lord wants to teach us how he lived. He said, Father, not my will, but your will be done. Our Lady said the same thing. Fiat mihi, let it be done to me as you say. I want to let you, Lord, be my everything. So Jesus has said, when you find yourself in that state of not being able to recollect, he says, the first thing to do is to humble yourself. You know, Lord, you are great. I am nothing. You are peaceful. I am not. You are loving and I am not. You see, it's not how bad you are. It's how great he is. So he says, the first thing you do is you humble yourself. I am nothing. You are everything, Lord. I love you. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. You're allowing me to go through this because you're trying to teach me something. You're trying to help me to surrender to you in all docility so that you can be Lord. And that's what God is doing. So first thing is to humble yourself, confessing that you deserve those pains. The thing that comes to mind is Bishop Sheen said, Venerable Servant of God, Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen said, the most difficult time of his entire life was when he was Bishop of Rochester. The priests went against him basically because of what they were told to do by the cardinal, who didn't get his way, and they sabotaged everything he did. And Bishop Sheen left Rochester, New York, a defeated man. He couldn't do it. He said it was impossible for him to be a bishop here. And in less than 3 years, he was gone. And he said it was the worst humiliation and suffering he's ever gone through in his entire life. And then he said, but I deserve worse. He realized that he was a sinner. He realized that to be punished was more than what all the priests did to him, the priests that were sabotaging him. He says, I deserved worse. A worse suffering. You know, that's the illumination. When we stand before God, God is going to reveal to us every thought, every word, every deed, and how we have offended him and our brothers and sisters. How we have offended all mankind by our sinfulness. And how the rippling effect has affected many, many, many people all around us. Not just the person that we were probably angry with, but how that sin caused that person to affect everyone around them. And that sin affected everyone around them. And then that sin affected everyone around them. It's a rippling effect that goes out. God is going to show us our sinfulness and how it affected everyone, how it offended our God, first of all, and how it really, really offended everybody around us. And when we understand that, we will see, yes, we deserve those pains that we're going through. Nobody's perfect. Everybody's a sinner except for God, except for Jesus and Mary. Everybody's a sinner. And Louisa would say that all the time. I am such a horrible person, she said. And again, what was her greatest sin? Her greatest sin was wanting to be a nun instead of being in bed. She says, I could help so many more people if I was walking and as a sister helping people. And Jesus says, no, I've got plans for you. I want you to be in the smallest convent in the world. That's your bed. And I want you to be a sister, but my sister. And that's what God is showing us too. He knows what we're going through. He knows everything that we're going through, every thought, every word, every deed. He knows that we have to be healed spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. And he's bringing that about. He says to Louisa, I'm making every human being that I know a divine masterpiece. No one like anyone else. To become a divine masterpiece, let's just think about that. If we have, say for example, we're an oil painting, and we do a mess of our life, which most people do. Ripped canvas, instead of using paint, using dirt, instead of using watercolor using just, motor oil. It's just a mess. And Jesus says, I've got to correct this. Everything in your life, I've got to reorder. So he scrapes the dirt and the mud and the oil and the grease off the canvas. He sutures up the canvas and stretches it so it's perfect. And then he begins painting. That's what I see the Book of Heaven is. The Book of Heaven is Jesus saying, we've got to correct the faults. You've got to become like me. You have to become like my mother. Image and likeness. You have to grow in this, the true likeness of Jesus, the true likeness of Mary. This is what the Book of Heaven is doing. This is why this paragraph here is so essential for us. Jesus says, don't be disturbed. Stop it. I recommend to you, don't disturb the peace of your heart. You have to recollect yourself. Don't think of how to do this or that or how it is or how it's not. In doing so, you're causing the distraction. Instead, find yourself in that. When you find yourself in that state, the first thing that you do is you humble yourself, confessing that you deserve those pains. I deserve worse than what I'm going through. Our Lord loves us very much. A lot of people are going to spend a long time in purgatory because they basically say, I haven't done anything wrong. And we're going to see when we meet the Lord how we have offended him with our thoughts, words, and deeds. How we have offended our brothers and sisters in our life. Our friends, our neighbors, our family, our coworkers, our parishioners. We're going to see what we've done and how it's affected many, many, many thousands of people because of our human misery. You deserve more than those pains, Jesus says. You haven't seen the truth yet. Begin to understand what the truth is, Jesus says. So he says, you must place yourself in the arms of the executioner. You have to say to Jesus, do with me as you wish. In Opus Sanctorum Angelorum, the work of the holy angels, it says that this is how you pray to your angel. Beat me as you would a stubborn mule. If I'm not turning my life over to Jesus completely, beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Get me moving to do what God wants. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Have you ever said to your holy guardian angel, don't let me go to hell. Whatever you need to do, do it. I give you permission. Beat me as a stubborn mule if I'm not following Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying. You have to place yourself in the arms of the executioner. That's what our God is waiting for. He's waiting for us to surrender completely to him. He's in charge of our life. Is he your Lord? Is he your Savior? Is he your Master? Is he your King? Is he your God? Is he your God? If he is, then this is the first thing you do. Total surrender, total docility, total submission to the Lord, our God, our Savior. And he says, put your life in the hands of the executioner, just like a humble little lamb that licks the hand of the one who is going to kill it. That's true love, surrender. Do what you have to do, Lord. Let it be done to me as you say. All of us, at one point of our life, this is where we're going to be. As we're trying to breathe, as we're trying to stay alive, and the Lord's saying, you have to come home. Put your hand, put your yourself in the arms of the executioner. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. Do with me as you wish. That last moment, where I watching people die, those that love Jesus, there was hope in their eyes. There was a confidence in him as they were dying. Those that didn't know Jesus were terrified. They trusted in themselves. Jesus wasn't the king of their hearts. You know, Jesus has given us an opportunity to let him be our God. And we have to get to that point where we trust him so much that we surrender completely to him. We give up our heartbeat. We give up our breath. But you have to discipline yourself to do that. If this is a way to do it. Place yourself in the arms of the executioner like a humble little lamb that licks the hand of the one who would kill him. The same for you. While seeing yourself beaten, disheartened, alone, when people ignore you and ridicule you and mock you and spit on you, you shall resign yourself to my holy dispositions. That's what Jesus went through. The Son of God, the Holy One, the only begotten Son of God, was laughed at, ridiculed, spit upon, ignored, and crucified. Look at a cross. Look at Christ crucified. Look at him. He did that for us. He took our place. And the little that we go through is really nothing. Resign yourself to my holy dispositions. Lord Jesus, you are my God, you are my Savior, you are my Lord. If this is what you want, I want it. If this is what you require of me, so be it. Resign yourself to my holy dispositions. And he says, and then thank me with all your heart. Have you thanked Jesus for everything that you've gone through? That's one of the things that you're going to discover when you get to heaven. Everything you've gone through has brought you to where you are now. The good, the bad, and the ugly. Everything that you've gone through. Have you thanked the Lord for saving your life? Have you thanked the Lord for all that you've gone through? I mean, I'm talking about, you know, severe pain too. If you haven't, get to that point of that suffering that you can remember and say to the Lord, thank you. I thank you. Confess you deserve those pains. See, God didn't want to lose you. Didn't want to lose me. And I'll tell you, honestly, if I didn't go through what I had to go through, he would have lost me a long time ago. I had to break my back twice, not once. I just hope it's not a third time, unless it's his will. But God is in charge. He is in charge. And he needs, somebody says, why don't you get a brush cut? If I get a brush cut, My head is so sutured up with stitches. I have so many, head wounds that you would say, what the heck happened to you? So it's better to have hair on my head at this point. Might be interesting to see what happens later on. I remember the nuns told us this, one of the boys in our class or in the school had gotten into a car accident and he was all cut up, and everybody was like, ooh, nobody wanted to, ooh. And then the sister said, in heaven, every wound that you have received will radiate in a glorious light. The suffering that you've gone through here is glory in heaven. See, we have to begin to understand with the mind of Christ. His wounds, we're going to see his wounds in, you know, radiating this divine light over all mankind. Jesus' wounds. Thank me with all your heart. You shall kiss my hand that strikes you. You know, when a lamb would run away, the shepherd will go after that lamb and bring the lamb back. And he always had the lamb around his neck or in his arms. You know why? Because the shepherd would break the lamb's leg. Why would the shepherd do that? So the lamb couldn't run away anymore. It would have to stay with the herd and wouldn't be devoured by the wolves. When you see the lamb in Jesus' arms, that's us. With a broken leg. He doesn't want to lose us to the evil one. Our Lord loves us very much. And he has to wound us sometimes so that we don't go to hell. We're very stubborn, selfish, self-centered, egotistical, braggarts. And the Lord has to put us in our place to recognize him as the Lord of our life, not us as the Lord of our lives. You shall kiss my hand. Do you kiss the cross? Do you venerate the cross? Do you kiss each hand? Do you kiss his feet? Do you kiss his forehead? Do you kiss his heart? Recognize yourself unworthy of those pains. Jesus saved you through those pains. We don't deserve to be saved. We don't. But Jesus loves us so much that he does not want to lose us. It's undeserving. We're undeserving. Why? Because we keep on sinning. We keep on offending him. We keep offending our brothers and sisters. We keep on hurting those around us. You have to recognize yourself as unworthy. You have to say, I deserve those pains. Let it be done to me as you say. Beat me as you would a stubborn mule. Don't let me end up in hell. How many funerals have we gone to where you heard, oh, there's Joe, he's up in heaven now playing golf with his buddies. Baloney. You have to become a divine masterpiece to enter into heaven. You have to become what God has called you to be. Otherwise, you're a long time in purgatory. Remember that one girl who was one of the apparitions, the girl, a 16-year-old girl died, and the visionary said to the Blessed Mother, why did she die so young? Where is she? And Our Lady said, she'll be in purgatory until the end of time. She was 16 years old. Be in purgatory until the end of time. We have to begin to understand what we deserve. And this is a good reason during Lent. You pray, fast, and do penance. You convert. Praying, fasting, and doing penance is essential during these 40 days of Lent. Jesus says, then you shall offer me that bitterness. You shall offer me that anguish. You shall offer me that tedium. This is maybe when you're in the hospital. I was in the hospital the first time I broke my back for 3 months. You shall offer me the bitterness, the anguish, the tedium. Praying to me to accept them as a sacrifice of praise. This is what I can offer you to Lord, my suffering. One with you crucified. To praise you, to thank you, to bless you, to adore you, to worship you, to save me from hell. This is the little that I can offer to you. This is why I'm saying, have you ever thanked God for what you've gone through? You wouldn't be where you are today without what you went through. You couldn't be. And a lot of times people get very angry with God. How dare you? What did I do? What did you do? So that's where the illumination of conscience, when that happens, comes in. People are going to be astonished at how much they have offended God, how much they have hurt our brothers and sisters. And that's the thing that's so sad, is that we don't even realize it now. And when God shows us, the saints say, some will die of horror, of terror, realizing how horrible they have been. It's not to see what happens with guilt when you truly recognize what you have done that was so wrong. The guilt is it will turn into sorrow. True sorrow for your sins. Jesus says, you shall offer to me the bitterness, the anguish, the tedium, praying to God to accept all that you've gone through as a sacrifice of praise, of satisfaction for your sins, and reparation for the offenses that they have given me. So here's the three things that God is looking for. Sacrifice of praise, satisfaction for our sins, and reparation for the offenses against God. That's what you know, do this during Lent. You know, use this paragraph. Think of your life. If you haven't made a general confession, which means you go through your whole life. This is what I did to the first 7 years of my life. This is what I did from 7 to 14. This is what I did from 14 to 21. I'll do that through your whole life. This is how I treated my family. This is how I treated my friends. This is how I treated my family. This is how I treated the church. This is how I treated you, Jesus. Be sincere. This is where conversion comes in. Recognizing that we do not deserve heaven. Jesus has redeemed us. And we are, as Our Lady said, we're far worse than we were before the fall. There's so many more sins. So these are the three things that God is looking for: sacrifice of praise, satisfaction for our sins, and reparation for the offenses that we have given against God. Jesus says, if you do so, your prayer shall ascend before my throne. If you do this, your prayer will ascend to the throne of God as the most fragrant incense. I like to burn incense when I'm praying. I like to watch the smoke go up. I like to smell the odor of sanctity, the odor of a blessing. And it reminds me, my prayer wants to go to you, Lord. I want it to ascend to the throne. I want you to recognize that I am sorry for my sins. And I don't want to sin anymore. I make a firm purpose of amendment to avoid the near occasions of sin. I want you, Lord, to recognize this. I don't want to be separated from you ever again. I don't want to offend you ever again. I don't want to offend my brothers and sisters ever again. I want everyone to be with you in heaven. All mankind to be with you in heaven. Never to be separated from you ever again. this fragrant incense, and burning of the incense will help you recognize what God is asking of us. He says, then this fragrant incense, your prayers ascending before my divine throne, shall wound my sacred heart. And it's not being wounded by sin, as we constantly do, but it's wounded with love. Love is soothing his heart. Love is reopening the graces that he wants to pour upon mankind. Your brothers, your sisters, your Lord whom we have all offended. He says, and you shall draw new graces, new charisms upon you. New divine graces never before seen. New divine charisms never before seen. So what our Lord is doing is he's promising us that as we get close to him, we're going to see things that we've never seen before. Why? Because we're beginning to understand that we deserved these pains. We deserved what we got. Of how we've treated our brothers and sisters, how we've offended God, how we've offended the Blessed Mother. And this is something that will help us refocus our life on that true life of Jesus, that true life of Mary, that Louisa possesses. We're not gonna continue to complain and point, look what they did. I hear that so often. You know, this in confession. Well, they made me. No, they didn't make you. You did it yourself. They put me in that situation. No, sorry. There's no fiat in your life. You did it. No, if you had to go through what I went through, I've gone through a little bit. And as Bishop Sheen said, I deserved worse than what I went through. We have to understand that God alone is holy. God alone is good. He went to his crucifixion like a silent lamb. He went to his crucifixion. Have you ever seen how they roast a lamb? It's very simple. It's a cross. The lamb's legs, the lower legs are strapped down like Jesus's were, and as the arms are stretched out like Jesus's were, and then it's roasted. Our Lord wants us to recognize what he has done for us so that we can participate in his divinity, which the priest says every day, Holy Mass, may we share in the divinity of Christ as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. Let your prayer ascend before the throne of God. Let your prayer wound the sacred heart of Jesus so that God can give us new abundant graces, new abundant charisms never before seen. What a glorious time to be alive, to hear from Jesus how to live his life, to hear from Jesus what he did for us. He went through all of this for each and every one of us. And now he's saying, I have to show you this, what I did for you. Can you do it for yourself with me? Can you go through the humiliations and the insults and the mockeries and the spits? Can you go through this, what you're going through, but say to me, thank you. You've gone through it for me first. And now you're seeing what you have done for me. And I deserve worse than this. I deserve worse than what I've gone through. Because I've separated myself from you many, many times. And you have not abandoned me. What a great God we have. What a magnificent God we have. In seeing you humble and resigned all plunged into your nothingness. Now, this is very important. When you are humbled and resigned to your fate, so let's say, you know, on your deathbed, when you're plunged into your nothing, I am nothingness, I am nothing, God is everything. I trust you, I believe in you, I hope in you, I have confidence in you, in what I'm going through right now. The devil shall not have power to get close to you. Why? He sees Jesus. That's what Jesus did. To be in God's image and likeness is to do what Jesus has done, to do what Mary has done. The two that suffered the most. And what they did was they gave this gift to Louisa. Why? So that she also could suffer. Christ crucified her every day. Why would God crucify a human being every day? Because the Father saw how much Louisa loved Jesus and said, I want you to be more like him. These are the three that suffered the most. We will never, ever go through what they went through. But why? Because most of us are cowards. Most of us would complain. Most of us would be negative. Why are you doing this to me? What did I do? I have people that, this is true. I've talked to people who have said to me, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask God, why did you do this? And I'm going, what is wrong with you? What is wrong with you? Well, he shouldn't have done that. He should have known better. I said, my goodness gracious. I'm going to have a stern talk with Jesus. I don't want to even be near you when that, I hope I'm like 100 million miles away when that happens. I don't want to even be close to you when if you ever even think of doing that to God. He knows what we deserve. He knows what we need. We are so proud. We're so arrogant. We're so self-centered, so selfish. God has to break it. It's like breaking a wild horse. And that's what you say to your angel. Treat me as you would a stubborn mule. You know, beat me as you would a troubled, a stubborn mule. What the Lord has got planned is for you to live in peace, joy, and happiness. That's the life of Jesus, who was nailed to the cross for you and me. Was scourged, his skin was ripped off his body. There's three types of scourges. There's the whipping, which welts the body. Then there's the scourging. First it's the lashing. It's like a stick that you whip the body and it welts the body. Then there's the whipping, which cracks the skin. And then there's the scourging, which the claws go in and tear the skin off. That's what Jesus went through. It was not just a scourging. It was the whipping with a whip. I mean, the stick. And then the whipping with the breaking the skin. And then the third scourging. Tearing the skin. The hooks go in and rip the skin off. And then Jesus said to Louisa, the worst pain he went through was carrying the cross. That beam that he carried dug into his shoulder. To the bone, back and forth as he's walking. He says that was the worst suffering he went through at that point. We don't even think about it because of the nails and the scourging, the crown of thorns. But the beam cut through his skin, cut into the bone as he's carrying the cross. He says, when you are seen humbled and resigned, Lord, I am not worthy to receive you. You say the word and I shall be healed. Resigned, all plunged into your nothingness. God, you are everything. I am nothing. I adore you. I praise you. I thank you. I bless you. I worship you. I glorify you. I love you as my Lord and my Savior, my Master, my King, my all. I am nothing. Without you, I am nothing without you. But with you, I possess everything. The devil will not have any power to get close to you. He will flee from you. Why? He sees Jesus. Here is how, where you thought you were losing, you shall make great gains. You're going to recognize what God has done. You're going to begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness. This is what God has planned for you and for me. To turn back to Him, to come back to Him. To be that little lamb in His arms. Do with me as you wish. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.